Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde is the classic horror story by Robert Louis Stevenson. The story has been retold in 4 movie adaptations. Roman Polanski is considering adding a 5th with an adaptation of Valerie Martin's new novel, Mary Riley. Valerie Martin tells the story of Jekyll and Hyde from the perspective of Dr. Jekyll's young maid, Mary Riley. In the original story, the maid was a very minor character. Valerie Martin is the author of several works of fiction and teaches creative writing at the University of Massachusetts in Amherst. Before we discussed Martin's new book, I asked her to refresh our memories of Stevenson's Jekyll and Hyde.
The basic premise is that a scientist who is plagued by a feeling of division in his own personality, that is, he both wants to do good in the world and be respected, has another disposition. He calls it a gaiety of disposition. We never know what it is that he does, but he's ashamed of it. And so it becomes a daydream of his that he could separate these two personalities, and then the good one could go forward and do really good work, and the wilder one, he doesn't really describe what sorts of things he would do, but he wouldn't plague the other personality, the good personality, with his desires to do things that at the very least are antisocial. And so through his chemical experiments, he derives a way of doing this, and this second personality not only acts differently but looks differently than he does, so much so that no one who looked at Mr. Hyde, the destructive personality, would ever connect him with the good Dr. Jekyll. And once his personality is out, Dr. Jekyll thinks everything will be fine, until he finds he has to take more and more of the chemical he takes less and less of the chemical to affect the transformation, and finally the transformation begins to happen without benefit of chemical, and he is at pains to keep Mr. Hyde in.
What was it about the story of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde that made you want to reconsider it?
One thing I think that attracted me to it was the absence of women. And the idea that this is a study of good and evil in which no woman is held to blame, which I think is unusual in literature. I was attracted to the method that Stevenson uses, which is, it's a very short book. He manages to do a lot, and particularly create a lot of atmosphere in a brief space. I think I'm attracted to his worldview, and I think I share it. His notion that vanity is the chief danger for people who would be reformers or who do good in the world, and that, in fact, that very desire may be somewhat dangerous. I think I agree with that. And I remember the first time I read the book, I was attracted to Jekyll's statement that although he was divided, both sides were in dead earnest, he says. In no sense was I a hypocrite. I'm not sure why I was so attracted to that. I think possibly because I feel that way about myself. I think that most people, when they behave in a hypocritical way, tend to think that both sides are in dead earnest.
How prominent is the maid character, Mary Riley, in the original story?
Well, she doesn't really appear at all. There is a mention of a maid who is weeping, one of the few appearances by women in that book, and that's the whole appearance that probably takes place inside of 2 paragraphs.
Mm-hmm. What are some of the opportunities that writing from the maid's perspective opens for you?
Oh, just a wealth of opportunities. She's in a position, as servants always are, to make observations about those who have power that can't be made from any other angle. And this, I think this is applicable in any kind of workplace.
We learn from the maid's journal that she grew up in a family where her father had something of a split personality, too.
Mm-hmm.
He could be a decent man, but when he drank, it brought the demon out in him, and he used to abuse her and punish her.
Mm-hmm.
There's a scene I'd like for you to read in which she describes how her father used to punish her by locking her up in this very small closet. And this is her description of one of those times when he locked her in the closet and did something even worse when she was in there. Would you read the scene?
Certainly. After a few minutes, I heard him get up again and come to the door. Then he was standing in front of it, laughing in that way I could hardly bear to hear. I didn't know what to do, beg or be silent. He said, "Mary, I'm opening this door, but if you know what's good for you, you best not move." The door opened, and the light from the lamp confused me so I couldn't see. Then he leaned towards me, and I saw he had a little hopsack bag with a string drawn at the top. Perhaps there was a few inches between my knees and my head, for I was looking up at him, trying to think what I had best do. But before I could make out much of anything, he'd stuffed the bag in with me, saying, "Here's summat to keep you company," and then the door was closed again. There was another black moment while I tried to understand what it was I had to fear next. I knew at once that there was something in the bag, that it was meant to harm me, but what it was my childish imagination couldn't conjure. Then I felt it moving and knew it was some animal, no doubt as frightened as I was. I'd only a thin skirt on, which I had pulled down over my knees as best I could, so it wasn't long before the creature began to work its way through the two thin layers separating us in that narrow, breathless space. I felt a claw sink into my thigh, and I pulled myself up rigid as I could, as if I could make more room, but there was no more room to make, and I think the rat sensed that as well as I. I knew it was a rat and where he'd got it. There was plenty to be had in the alleys nearby, and often enough he'd brought me to whimpering by sending me out for a pint when it was dark and I had to pick my way among them. So he'd put one of these rats in the bag and closed it up with me.
Have you given a lot of thought to what is it in people that brings out the darker, the more poisoned part of their personality?
I suppose I have. I think that most people have a dark side. It's interesting to me how much we pay lip service to that notion, but when people are actually confronted with somebody who exhibits a dark side, particularly somebody who has a very good side, that we always feel this shock. A great case that's been mentioned to me lately is this Charles Stewart case in Boston. Several people have suggested he was a Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde type. A couple of people suggested that they found it shocking that you could go into anybody's house and meet somebody or work with somebody and not know they had this dark side. But I don't find anybody thinking, well, I wonder if I have this dark side, which is how I respond to it. I always think of, I identify with Jekyll.
You referred to the possibility that you might have a really dark side, and you wonder about that. Is it fair to ask you how you think your Mr. Hyde, so to speak, expresses itself?
Oh, I know how it expresses itself. It writes novels.
Oh, well, that's a pretty safe way of handling it.
Yes, it's true.
You've said that you wanted to challenge Stevenson's black and white notions of good and evil. Compare your notions of good and evil to his.
Well, I don't know that I wanted to challenge them. I think in some ways, and partly because of the sort of book that he wrote, he was forced to oversimplify. I don't want so much to challenge that as to describe how it might look from another angle or to suggest other places where the same split might turn up. And I think that Mary herself experiences a great deal of repressed destructive force, although I only found out about this in the last couple of days.
Excuse me? What do you mean?
I used to think that I thought for a while that Mary was not the divided personality, but the more I think and talk about her, the more I think that she is, that she has a lot of anger about the situation that she's in. She has a lot of anger towards her father. In the first part of the book, she really tries to act as if she doesn't feel this and that she's accepted her lot and is happy in it. But I think towards the end of the book, she's beginning to express some of that anger.
Well, and, I think she's suffering from some kind of chronic depression. There are parts where she refers to suffering from periods of blackness that her
yes.
father left her in. And that, right. I mean, that sounded like really bad depression to me.
Yeah, and I think one definition of depression is repressed anger.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is, in a large part, what she's done in order to live. Because in her situation, there's no way that she can express that anger.
One of your previous books, A Recent Martyr, is, I believe, set during the bubonic plague.
There's never been a bubonic plague in New Orleans, so it seems to take place in the near future.
I see, okay. Now the scene that you read for us, that opens Mary Riley, mm-hmm. has a rat in it. Were there rats where you grew up? Why are you... It just seems to me you must have this kind of morbid fascination with rats.
Yeah, I've been described as obsessed with rats. I just hope nobody ever sends me one as a pet.
Yeah, I can see why.
Yeah, I've received some plastic rats that are that are quite nice. But no, New Orleans is a city that has a lot of rats in it. I've had a lot of trouble with them in life, both the four-legged and the two-legged variety.
Do you? You say you're afraid somebody might send you a real rat sometime. Do you worry what people will think of you from your writing because you write so much about the things that disturb you?
No, I don't worry about it anymore. I think there was a time when I did, but if I didn't write about the things that disturb me, they would continue to disturb me.
Do you worry that disturbed readers are the readers you have?
Well, I like to disturb readers. I like to read things that disturb me. Perhaps that's strange, but I don't think it's really that unusual in the history of the novel. A really good novel to me is very upsetting. It changes the way I see.
Good. Well, thanks a lot for talking with us.
Thank you very much.
Valerie Martin's new novel, Mary Riley, is published by Doubleday.